Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, God bless you, God bless you. This is Reverend Aaron Williams, and this is DTW Ministries by way of Purpose Kingdom Network. We're live here on Facebook and on the radio. 319-527-6091 is the number to dial in to listen on internet radio. And again, we're here as we just bless God. We bless God, you know, as we continue in part two of our last discussion, our last topic, shall we continue? You know, and as I've just thought, I set out, thought about it, I meditated on it, I talked to the Lord about it, and I can't get away from it. And I believe that it's a pressing issue because people seem to claim spirituality these days, claim to be close to God, claim to know God, but yet apart from his word, even to the extent that it was a minister that said, you can't, what you're saying, you can't hear from God or know God apart from what's written in the Bible, you know, and he did it like it was a laughable thing. But people are using any standard of emotion, any standard of spirituality, any standard of access to God, to say and declare in today, 2024, that they know God. You know, and that's a scary thing. Scary for a lot of reasons, and that we'll definitely try to get into. If we're not able to get into it this week, we'll definitely come time for the next broadcast, which the next broadcast is, you know, this is our last broadcast. No, it's not the 28th. We come back on the 28th. Of May, which is the last Tuesday in the month of May. And I just thank God. I thank God because I grew up in a time where truth was relative. You know, there was a truth, you know, and now we're to the point now where how many people was it in the earth? 5 billion, 6 billion, 7 billion, you know, and everyone can declare their own personal truth, where truth is no longer relative. It's truth is in perspective to what I consider, what you consider, what someone else considers to be true, that there's no definitive truth, that there's no absolute truth, that, you know, everything is speculative, you know, everything is up for debate, you know, and that's very scary, you know, it's order and chaos. You know, yin and yang, you know, these two opposing forces that are in nature, you know, not in the concept of God, because God is a theology. You know, God is a theology. God, not just a study of him, but there is a theocracy in God. God exists in a theocracy. It's his way, and that's what it is. You know, one of the most damning and damnable, you know, and damaging things is democracy. Democracy, it says majority rules, you know, and when you allow religion, when you allow your perspective, your faith to be moved by culture, to be moved by what the opposers or those that are loudest, the squeakiest wheel, when you begin to change standards, when you begin to change doctrine because culture changes, now we find that we're in a pickle, we're in a dilemma, and that's where we find ourselves here in 2024. But before we go any further, let's pray. God, we do thank you and we bless you. For your word never changes. You are the same today, yesterday, and forever. God, and we pray for the men and women of God, the people of God. We pray, God, that as your word continues to go forth, from those that you sent, God, to bring your word and to carry your word, that it would fall on good ground. God, we pray, God, against those that are apostates, God, and those that are opposing the gospel, you know, those that are being led by the gods of this world and the prince of the power of the air, God, that have been deceived by the spirit of the Antichrist, you know, and the false prophet. And we pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would move by your spirit through the gospel being preached. For we believe, God, that your word, your gospel is the power of you, the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And we believe you tonight. We pray that you would continue to have your way here on Purpose Kingdom Network. Continue to have your way on Facebook Live as your word goes forth. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. I have put part two down because I continue to be concerned with, again, our outlook on truth. You know, our outlook on truth, even to the extent of what things that we thought were basic, those things that we thought were not abstract, you know, have changed to be abstract now. Those things that we thought to be foundational seems now to have changed into fluid. You know, have seemed to change and shift. You know, and as I spoke earlier, you know, shift to the culture, shift to the majority, shift to the argument and who has the stronger argument. And that holds true not just in the natural, that holds true in the spiritual, because whatever argument is the strongest, that's what our flesh usually dictates to follow. Who has the strongest pull? Who has the strongest voice? Who has the strongest temptation? Who has the strongest desire? You know, which was one of the problems I spoke of before about the problem I believe that we have with Pentecost, is because people often look for the feeling of Pentecost without looking for the God of Pentecost. So I don't want to be too preachy. You know, it's Tuesday night. I got 807, 806, 807, you know, and I don't plan on being, you know, before you more than a half hour tonight. Maybe by 8:30 we should be, you know, wrapped up and ready to get out of here. But when I'm just to recap, you know, the topic, shall we continue, you know, because Paul writing to the church at Rome, you know, wanted to emphasize, you know, what the free gift was, what God done for us, you know, and the emphasis was so much so on that yeah, as we had recapped and talked about it last week or week before last, that as the free gift is, as sin was, so is the free gift. So God has given us something for free. You know, we found ourselves in sin. We were born in sin, shaping in iniquity. We found ourselves in a life that we didn't ask for. We found ourselves in a life that was already on us when we came into the world. So, you know, but then it says, so is the free gift. You know, but then Paul asked the question, shall we then continue? Because we've been freed, because we've come into a new nature, and this is where the trouble begins for me, because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Now, that's a word there. You can't just skip over that and say, you know, any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Okay, I'm new. You know, I'm born again. I'm saved. The free gift is by grace, not by works, you know, that anyone could boast. I've been given this salvation by God. So he says, how can we that have been delivered live any longer in the old man? If we are new creations, our lives are hid in God, in Christ. That as a Christian, I don't want to become born again. I don't even know how to live because my life is now a journey. My life is now a seeking. My life is now a search because it's hidden, God. Yeah, what was hidden before even the foundation of the world, where the Bible reminds us, if the princes of this world would have known what God had in store for us, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. But he was crucified. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we were healed. We've been placed into a new nature, which is not a new nature. It was the nature of the original man, Adam, in the garden that he left when he fell into a sinful and fallen state of because of disobedience. The woman was deceived. The man, the seed bearer, was disobedient. And because of his disobedience, sin fell on every man. But now Christ came. And just as we have no part of when, of how we came into sin, we have no part into how we came back into our original state. God has placed us and given us, listen, not just a new nature, but his divine nature. My God, hallelujah. He's given us of his divine nature. I'm waiting to see the glory that will be revealed in us as we were. No, not in the world to come, but as we move now from faith to faith. As we move now from strength to strength. As we move now, moving in the word, moving upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. What more glorious things does God have in store for the children of God that seriously come to him, recognizing we have a new nature, seeking his... I'm excited. Because the Bible says that Moses, listen, that Moses, Moses under the law, Moses under the law, when he consistently stayed and dwelt in the presence of God, it said that they had to put a veil over his face because the children of Israel could not steadfastly look on him. And that was under the law. I believe this is one of the reasons why the enemy, why our flesh, why we are challenged and fought so much, he doesn't want us to reach this portion of glory that God has for us and the heirs of promise in this world. What that mean? We're going to glow, you know, like the last dragon. I don't know what it means, but I receive when I read the word that said, it's because it says, if the law, if the previous administration, if the law was so glorious, then how much more glorious? I challenge myself every time I minister. I challenge myself to pray more. Every time I talk about God, I challenge myself to turn down my plate more, to read more, to meditate more. Every time I minister, because I desire to see what God has for me in this life. We ain't talking about houses and land. I'm talking about from glory to glory. Hallelujah. But when we're talking about shall we continue, how can we, Romans 12 say, Romans 12, let me turn that, Romans 2 rather, Romans, I'm all over, Romans 6, I want to read it, I wrote it down, but I want to read it again, I know we read it the last time we were on, but I just want to read it again, Romans 6, what shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that were dead to sin, not that word, that are dead to sin, live any longer in it? How can we say we're dead to sin? Because, see, when we were born again, we died. When we were born again, before we accepted Christ, before we became Christians, before we were born again, we were still under the law. And because the law was alive, sin was alive. Sin was alive because remember the last time we talked about the law of sin and death that dwells in our members. That's why, remember, that's why we can't say we don't have sin because sin is in our nature. Sin is in our members. But we now have a new law. We now have a new law, and that's life in in the spirit. That's the law of the spirit and of life that's in Christ Jesus that now we dwell in, that we have to relearn. And how do you relearn it? There it is again, in the seeking, in the searching for Christ, for the searching for the Holy Spirit, the searching for the life of Christ that's hidden in God, in Christ. We can't do what we want. That's really my bottom line. We can't do what we want. We can't say what we want. There were some things I wanted to say the other day while I was on the air with my family, and I wanted to go over some things. But the more I prayed and sat there while everyone was talking, we were singing, we was having a great time, my mouth wouldn't open. You know, I said, well, God, if it's you, then, you know, I had let this happen. You know, I get the chance, and it never came. And because it never came, I never pressed it. I said, I'm not worrying about those things because, God, I want to see you. Everyone that has this hope that there is a God, that there is a resurrection, that there is a Savior. Everyone in the Bible says that has this hope in him purifies himself. How can we? That's the question. You know, well, let me read Ephesians 5, 6 first. Ephesians 5, 6 says, let no man deceive you with vain words. That's why we don't worry about what people say. And I have to remind you of the Bible's continued reminder, its continued theme of the Antichrist coming, of perilous times coming, of deceivers coming, of the devil being able to disguise himself as an angel of light, and his inner demons disguising ministers of light, that if all these things are already admonished and placed in the Bible, that for our admonition, and I'm not just saying admonition, but for our ammunition, if the Bible already warns us of these things to come, when we see these things coming, how can we so blindly be deceived? How can we so blindly just walk and fall into it? And I thank God, but it bogs my mind and it troubles me very greatly to see so many people deceived when the Bible consistently, through its theme, told her about these times coming, what to look for, what the Antichrist will do, what the false prophet will do, what the dragon will do, what will they say, what will they be like, what will be their influence. And we see the influence, we see it coming, and yet we're still deceived. We're still turning away. There's still a great falling away. And I have to ask myself, were we really believing? Were we really trusting? Were we really seeking? Were we really searching for God? And I know some things out there that when truth comes, your truth, again, is relative. We said this before, because truth, Christ is the truth. But there are some truths out there that have been hidden. The problem I have with that is that we base the truth in trying to find the gospel instead of standing on the gospel and let it see and define and discern other truths. So we move through God and we depend on God because of truth. We stand on God because of truth. And that same truth should fortify your spirit as you meditate in the word. And I've said this last, read your Bible. Read your Bible. There's some fables, there's some sayings that we say that are good and they sound great and they're very catchy and they're non-biblical. They don't even have any inkling of the word in it. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Listen, for because of these things, when he was talking about Ephesians, he was talking about lifestyles. He was talking about what they were doing with fornication and adultery and drunkenness. And, you know, the church of Ephesus, the church of Corinth, he was talking about all these things that the saints, so-called saints, were doing, that their lifestyle. Now, this is not just some religion. This is not just some faith. God has restored you back to your original place. And now your life has to line up with that. there is a dying that we recognize, because the Bible tells us to mortify our deeds which are on the earth. Mortify, put them to death. Don't allow sin, therefore, to reign in your mortal bodies. Why? Because it will. Because it's our nature. It's your nature. It's my nature. It's our nature that sin will reign. It's our nature that sin will do what it wants to do. It's our nature that we had to find and tap into, listen, that divine nature. And those things are done by calisthenics. Those things are done by discipline. Those things are done by habit. Those things are done by diligence. For God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let me finish reading. Those things that cometh the wrath of God upon the children. Listen, it didn't say children of God. It said children, called us children of disobedience if we allow those things to deceive us and allow those lifestyles to manifest or to, I would say, be the majority and choices of our lives. Verse 7 says, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Why? Because you don't want to be made among the population of the children of disobedience. You want to be considered, and we are, the children of God. Verse in Hebrews for chapter 1, it says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation? Talking about angels. You know, when you're talking about angels ministering, it goes into a lot of depiction and a lot of conversation. Let me read a few verses ahead of that in Hebrews 1st chapter. I'm going to start at verse 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning has laid the foundation of the earth. The heavens are the works of your hands. Perish, but you remain. They shall wax old as does a garment, and as a vesture shall you be, or shall fold them up, and they shall be changed, but you are the same. And the years, your years don't fail. But to which of the angels did he at any time get on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? And what God is doing, not just in time, but in the human family, to put everything in submission under the will of God. And as everything falls in submission, there's a line drawn, because every knee is going to bow. Listen, when it says every knee, it's not talking about every sinner. It's talking about every knee. Every means every. Every knee, the righteous and the unrighteous, the sinner and the just. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. I said this, I'm going to keep saying this same. Everybody, I'm getting in trouble right now, but I'm going to try to back it up. Everybody is going to heaven, but everybody's not staying. Everybody's going to heaven, but everybody's not staying. My God, my God, to see and to come into the glory of God and see the majesty on high, see the majesty of his presence, see the majesty of the city made without hand, to see the majesty of the firmament, to see the majesty of creation, to see the majesty of heaven, just to hear him say, depart, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. My God, everyone's going, but everybody's not staying. Those same angels that were there that he didn't tell to sit at my right hand. He didn't place him in the majesty on high, but he made them as ministering spirits. Listen to verse 14, Hebrews chapter 1. Sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation. My God, wow. That he sent angels for us. He sent angels for it. This is why I go into the next few verses in chapter 2 that just blows my mind. That we have angels that we can call on, that minister to us in trouble, that bear us up in their hands lest we dash out, for to keep us, my God, that protect, that guard us, that minister to us, that's been assigned to us, that are heirs of salvation, that are heirs of the promise, starting in chapter 2. That's why it comes and says, therefore, my God, therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed because we have this going on. Not only did he change our nature, not only did he quicken our spirit and filled us with his spirit, not only do we have the Holy Ghost standing and dwelling on the inside, but we have angels. My God, hallelujah. We have angels that he's given charge over us. We have angels that he had placed in our lives to minister. Thank you, angels. To minister spirit, ministering spirits, warring spirits, ministering and warring on our behalf. My God, hallelujah. That's why we want to give more earnest heed to those things which we have heard. We've heard about holiness, without which no man is there. We follow peace with all men, and holiness without shall no man see the Lord. Sanctification for what God is doing in us, what God is doing with us, shall no man see the Lord. My God, hallelujah. Lest at any time we should let it drift away. That's why I want to reemphasize this first scripture I read in Ephesians 5. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Therefore, I'm going to read verse 1 of chapter 2 again. We give more earnest heed to those things we've heard. We don't want to reject what we've heard. We don't want to rebel against what we've heard. We don't want to stand in disobedience because the culture is changing of what we heard. We don't want to, you know, it's the patriarchy. We don't want to move into the democracy. Because now the majority don't think like that no more of what we heard, but we want to give heed to it. Why? Why? Because there's a possibility if you don't hold on to the word of God, if you don't hold on to the promises of God, if you don't hold on to the position of God, that they might slip, my God. Just think. I know some people that have been shipwrecked in ministry, and I know they wonder, how did I get out here? How did I get way out here? How did I get way out here? How did I get way out here? It was because it was a little bit of falsehood. It was a little white lie. It was a little fox that spoiled the vine. No one came and devoured them all at once. But it was something that they accepted that was off keel. It was something that they gravitated to, that they received that was a little bit off kilter. And before they knew it, they were way out in the deep on some false doctrine or some false, you know, teaching that they had heard and didn't even know that what they knew and what they had heard from before had slipped out of their conscience, had slipped out of their faith, had slipped, my God, have mercy, from them. Verse 2, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, if what the angels speak comes to pass, if what the angels speak were held, people were held to obey, and if they didn't, were, and if they transgressed, they were punished. It says, what spoken was steadfast, it was for sure, and every transgression and disobedience received a fair repayment. because of disobedience, because of what we did, because of what we didn't do, when it was in disobedience to the will and purposes of God, received a just and fair repayment. King James says, received a just recompense of reward. My God. And this verse right here, verse 3, is really the clincher for me. How shall we escape? I don't really have to say no more of that. How shall we escape? Listen, if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard and by the apostle, was confirmed for the Lord. The Lord came. He came with the new gospel. He came with the gospel of the kingdom. He came with the kingdom of God is at hand. And as the Lord declared, this is the life that God has for you. This is the life that God has for us. This is the life that we're supposed to live. And that life is in me. How shall we escape? That's my question tonight. How shall we escape if we neglect? If we neglect that the blood has cleansed us, if we neglect that the cross has taken away our sin, that now our the body of this death, our flesh, is crucified with him through what Christ has done. And not only has he done that and restored us and giving us and allowed us to be fit to be partakers. Listen, he made us fit to be partakers of his divine nature. Fit to be partakers of his nature, and has placed us back into the original state before Adam's transgression, and filled us with his spirit, and given us the word of God wherein we can stand. I'm not even going to have to talk about the Father here. This is just what Christ has done. And now, with the Holy Spirit, with the Word of God, not only that, we have angels. My God, we have angels ministering to us. My God, thank you, Jesus. If it happens, how can we escape? If we can't make it with all that he's done, if we can't make it with all that he's accomplished, if we can't make it even after all that he's given us, how can we escape? It's because we neglect. It's because we reject. It's because we continue to walk in wrath, in disobedience, in dishonesty, in perversion. The Bible says, not only do we do it, we love it. I want to challenge you to love God tonight. I told you it won't be too long. I'm going to be too before you too long. I want to challenge your love of God tonight, that he's done all of this for you, my God, for you, for you and I, for us. He's done it for us. That's where grace is, because it's done. It's already a done deal. Now, what we have to do is learn surrender. Learn surrender. Learn to die to yourself. Learn to present yourself as a living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. I feel every pain. I feel every stab. I feel every cut. I feel every test. I feel every temptation. I feel every trial. I feel every emotion. But I'm going to lay here and sacrifice. I feel it. God, help me. How do I mortify this flesh? How do I mortify this? It doesn't say mortify the flesh. It says mortify the deeds.
Oh, my goodness.
Mortify the deeds. Hallelujah. But I do believe it's a place where you can get where it doesn't steal. It doesn't have such a pull on you in your flesh. But you still, after you've prayed, after you've done all you can, after, hallelujah, all you can to stand, you still got to stand. If you don't know the Lord tonight, and I don't know what's wrong with Facebook, it seems like I've never connected, but I'm not going to stop. We want to just, hopefully the video did work. You know, I don't see any comments or any feedback from anyone that's watching. Also, I've just been watching a blank screen for the last 35 minutes. But if you don't know Christ in the pardon of your sin, or if you confess Christ, but you see no victory, no joy, no power, no deliverance in your life, I want to lead you through the sinner's prayer, and then I'm going to pray for you. You know, and then we want to come. We have Brother Rob that's going to come, and he's going to have some information on how you can correspond with this part of the vineyard of Purpose Kingdom Networks, where we can instruct you and direct you in your Christian life and your Christian faith. You know, but I want you to say this prayer with me. You know, say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Forgive me of my sin. I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that you, God, have raised him from the dead. God, I pray, cleanse me, that you'd save me. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, that you would fill my life. In Jesus' name, that you would convert me to the person that you've called and desired for me to be. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Let me pray for you. God, I do thank you, and I bless you for each and every person that prayed that prayer. God, and I just pray, God, for we know that with confession, hallelujah, is made unto salvation, and with the heart man believes unto righteousness. God, you said it's by faith, your righteousness. God, so as they believe you, God, sanctify them. In the name of Jesus, give them the victory. Give them the joy. Give them the deliverance that they desire of in you. Satan, the Lord rebuke you, and the blood of Jesus is against you. Loose your hold on their lives in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus, God. And I pray in Jesus' name that, God, you would stand up in them, Holy Spirit, angels, hallelujah, that you would minister to them in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, that you would stir and quicken them on the inside. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. We're going to call Brother Rob. He's going to come. He's going to give you some information about Purpose Kingdom and how you can correspond. A few announcements. Then we're going to come in with the final word and the benediction. God bless you.
All right. All right. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Reverend Williams, for tonight's episode. We really, really greatly appreciate and enjoyed tonight's episode. Real quickly, I'm going to the announcements. This is the product Purpose Kingdom Network and Purpose Kingdom Network. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining us for tonight's episode. No matter where in the world you are, whether you're listening to us via phone or internet, we greatly appreciate your listenership and support for us here at Purpose Kingdom Network. And we also appreciate those that share with your friends and family members, letting them know that Purpose Kingdom Network is on the air. Anytime we do a live broadcast, we're broadcasting live on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. And when we do a call-in show, we do have a number to call in to our host, which is 319-527-6091. And you just press the number 1, and we'll get you in as quickly as we can. Also, we invite you to like us on our Facebook page, which is at Purpose Kingdom Network at Facebook. Purpose Kingdom at Facebook. We can see our upcoming shows and advertisements. And from time to time, we do make major announcements on that social media page as well as others. We're also on Instagram and Twitter under the handle Purpose_Kingdom. All right. And if you're in the mood for some soothing music and some music of inspiration, please check out pkn.com where you can hear 24 hours of music of inspiration. All right. Also, please check us out tomorrow at the 9 p.m. hour where we're going to have Daughters of Ruth. And it's going to be hosted by Reverend Maureen Lee. So once again, please rejoin us tomorrow evening with God's will and God's blessing at the 9 p.m. hour for Daughters of Ruth, and that's going to be hosted by Reverend Maureen Lee. Okay, and with that being said, that's going to be the end of our announcement, and we're going to turn the show back over to Reverend Williams and Reverend Williams' great show tonight.
Amen. Colossians 3, starting at verse 1, says this: if you're risen with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 5 says, mortify therefore your members which are in the earth, and it lists those things that we are to keep from. Verse 6 says, for which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. So we just encourage you through obedience to serve God, to find you a church that preaches, teaches, and lives the gospel, that you may grow, that you may study, that you may show yourself approved, that you study your word, that you read your word, that you meditate on your word, that you live your word. My God, hallelujah. And I believe, because God is not a respecter of persons, and neither is he a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent, that if he did it for me, he'll do it for you. My God, hallelujah. We thank God, we thank God, we thank God for Brother Rob, Pastor Tori not being with us tonight, Sister Adrian and those that continue to work behind the scenes, as well as all the ministers that come on and broadcast here on Blog Talk, by way of the Purpose Kingdom Network. We thank God for the Purpose Kingdom Network. I'll try to find out later what went on with my Facebook page. But one thing I'm not going to, the thing we used to say back in the day, one moment don't stop, no show. So thank God for Blog Talk being available and Switchboard being up, and that the word still went forth. I just try to add it to my Facebook page, but we thank God that we were able to minister anyway. So we thank God, and we pray not only that you do find that church and find that pastor, but that you find your passion. Listen, everything that you're going through, let me say that again, everything that you're going through, it's just another avenue. It's just another avenue of which and whereby you can pursue after God. You say, I'm in trouble. Pursue God. You say that I'm in pain. I'm sick. Pursue God through your pain, through your sickness, through your troubles, through your circumstance. It's just another avenue of pursuit. So, God, we do thank you and we bless you. And we pray, God, that even as things come up, unemployment, financial issues, health crises, family issues, marital issues, God, and those things that just come that life brings, that you would so saturate your people, the heirs of the promise, that those that are the angels are looking after, heirs of salvation, that you would so saturate us with your presence and the light of your countenance, that you would bless us in the name of Jesus to be the men to be the women, to be the people that you've called us to be. In the name of Jesus, we don't accept no, for you promised. You're not a man that you should lie. You hold fast to your promise. You stand by your word to perform it. Hallelujah. And we say thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing in us, with us, through us, for us. God, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Y'all have a great night.
Jesus bless.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.